Homolophobia. Do you know that one? Are you familiar with homolophobia? Ever known someone who maybe spent some time in the hospital because they had a case of homolophobia? Maybe you've suffered from homolophobia. Maybe you've suffered with it without even knowing it. So maybe you're going to suffer with it today, because homolophobia, I promise you this is true, is the fear of sermons. It's literally a thing. Homolophobia. There have been enough people in the world who have complained to enough other people in the world that the people who name fears had to name this one. Homolophobia. And some of you are going, I get scared of your sermons every week that they're going to go over. I'm not going to get to lunch on time. So can you believe that? Ever since I found out about this, I've wondered if maybe that's why there's so many empty pews in our churches, in our church some Sundays. It's because of homolophobia, right? Homolophobia might be killing our Sunday attendance. Can you believe that? Is there a cure, God? We need it. People might possibly be afraid of my sermons, and so they stay home. We're afraid of a lot of things, aren't we? Most of us probably didn't know that that was one of them, but we're afraid of a lot of things. There are thousands of named fears in this world. It's really sad to me, actually, that there are so many people, that so many people are afraid of so many things. But we are, aren't we? We're afraid of a lot of things. That's why I wanted to do this sermon series called Fear, about the things that we're afraid of. And what better time of the year to do that than October, right? It's the scariest month of the year, isn't it? Have you ever been to Juanita and Jeff's house in October? This is a scary time of year. I did a little experiment on Facebook several months ago to help me, to ask you to help me prepare for this series. And I asked the people of our church through our Facebook page what they are afraid of. And I got a lot of responses. And listen, almost every response I got has a name, like a scientific name for the fear. One of them is the fear of spiders. You know that one, right? Arachnophobia, because they made a movie about it, right? Arachnophobia is a fear of spiders. Ophidiophobia. Do you know what that one is? Ironically, Melissa suffers from ophidiophobia, which is the fear of snakes, but Melissa does not suffer from the fear of bees, which is Melissaphobia. So I don't know what's going on with that. Galeophobia. Most of us probably have galeophobia. It's the fear of sharks. Who doesn't fear sharks, right? I mean, at least for a time. When you're in the ocean and your feet aren't touching the ground, probably most of us get a little spell of galeophobia, right? Nyctophobia is the fear of the dark, right? This one's my favorite. And we actually have a person here who suffers from this one. This is called amophobia. And this is the fear of sand. The fear of sand. Amophobia. All right. I won't point that person out, but she's in front. Xenophobia is the fear of the unknown. Thanatophobia is the fear of death. I could keep going. I promise you I could. I got a lot of responses from some, and some of those responses led to this sermon series that I'll be preaching over the next month. We're afraid of a lot of stuff, aren't we? We're afraid of a lot of things. Listen, there's even a named fear, some of you may know this, for peanut butter getting stuck to the roof of your mouth. They had to name that fear. It's arachibutyrophobia. Arachibutyrophobia is the fear of having peanut butter be stuck to the roof of your mouth. We're afraid of a lot of things, aren't we? And I've just tipped the iceberg. Well, I hope that this series will, at the very least, help you feel better about your fears. I hope it will help you learn to face them, to face your fears, and to seek God in the midst of your fears. And I'm confident that when we are afraid, When we are the most afraid, God wants to be very powerfully with us, right? Comforting us, making us brave, giving us peace, even and maybe most especially in the midst of our fear. So I hope that this series will help you know how good he is when you're afraid, when you are scared. One of the times when I believe he is most powerfully with us, ironically, is when we feel most alone. When we feel most alone. The fear of being alone has actually three names. I think they're getting bored over there in that office. What do you think? They're like, how many consonants can we put together in one word? So the fear of being alone has three names: autophobia, isolophobia, and monophobia. For the sake of this sermon, it's going to be called one of those. So being alone or feeling alone is a very real and a very scary thing, isn't it? It's scary. Somebody said, yeah. It is scary, right? I'm not surprised at all to know that this fear has a name. I'm a little surprised about the peanut butter thing, but I'm not surprised that this fear has a name or that many of you suffer from this fear. I suspect most of us do, really, in one way or another, fear being alone. If asked what my biggest fears are, I'm not sure I would claim this one right away at the top. I'd probably tell you that I'm most afraid of heights, right? So I don't know if I named that, if I found that name, but I'm most afraid of heights, or at least falling from high places. So it's not really the heights that I'm afraid of, it's the landing after I fall from heights that I'm afraid of. I'm also afraid of spiders, and I want to thank Michael Churchill because he helped me with that fear today, because I came around the corner this morning, I looked down, and I'm telling you, it was this big. And I said, Michael, Pastor Jim's 45, and he called on 16-year-old Michael to come save him from a spider that was just this big, right? I'm afraid of spiders. I have arachnophobia. And I'd probably tell you that as a pastor, I fear not being accepted. Sometimes I wonder if they teach pastors to fear that when they're in seminary, because so many pastors have that fear not being accepted. I fear getting up here and not having my notes. There should be a name for that fear, right? So I fear a lot of things, but the fear of being alone would probably not have been at the top of it. However, after thinking about at the top of the list, but after thinking about it while I was preparing this message, I realized being alone really is something that I'm afraid of. It's something that I fear. I don't like being alone. So the thought of being alone, the thought of being lonely or struggling alone or walking through a storm alone is quite scary to me, actually. How about you? How about you? Some of you listed this in response to the question, what are you most afraid of in the world, or something like that. You listed being alone. This is a very big fear for some of you, isn't it? How about the rest of you? Does it scare you to think about being alone, to think about feeling lonely? Listen, this is a real fear for a lot of people, probably more people than would admit it. We're not wired for isolation, are we? We're not wired for isolation. Scripture says that God created man and then he needed to create a companion for him. And so he did. We're not wired for isolation. We were made to be in relationship. We were made to be with each other. We were made to be in community, right? We were made to share our experiences, our good experiences, our bad experiences, our good feelings, our bad feelings with each other, right? That's how we were made. And so it's natural and should be expected that we would fear the opposite of that, that we would fear being alone. And to take this fear just a step further, I believe we can feel alone even when there's lots of people around us, right? We can feel alone even when there's a lot of people around us. Does that make sense? We can feel alone on the inside regardless of what's going on around us on the outside. We can be alone in our sins, right? In our personal sins. We can be alone in addiction. We can be alone in depression. There are inner storms that so many of us feel utterly alone in the midst of, right? Some of you are feeling alone in an inner storm as we speak. We don't let anyone else into that stuff, right? And so we are alone with it. all by ourselves as we travel that road, as we struggle with whatever that thing is. Being alone is a real, legitimate fear for so many people. In fact, like I said, my hunch is that most, if not all of us, fear some sort of loneliness, don't we? And when I say fear, I mean we don't like it. We don't like it. We don't want it. We dread it. We don't like being alone. For some of us, that means physically alone. For others, it means mentally or emotionally alone. We don't like it, and so we fear it. I don't think God likes for us to be alone either, though. Do you? I don't think He likes for us to be alone. We have a God who says we never have to be alone, don't we? Isn't that great news? We have a God who says you never will be alone, who says, fear not, for I am with you. Our God, your God, loves you way too much to let you stay alone, to let you keep feeling lonely, to let you keep feeling alone. God loves you too much not to do everything in His power to help you feel His presence in the loneliest of times, right? That's how good our God is and how much He loves you. He can't let you be alone. That's good news, isn't it? At the very beginning of loneliness, at the very start of that feeling that we hate and that experience that we fear, there is God. There is God, right there with us. I know that doesn't totally take away the loneliness. It doesn't totally take away the fear of it either. But I hope as we consider this fear, this autophobia, we'll know and embrace the fact that God is always with us. And He loves us way too much to let us go through the storms of life by ourselves. He loves you way too much to leave you in the storms that you're battling right now. There are probably hundreds of passages in Scripture that remind us that God is always with us, from the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that is great, and I hope that you will seek those out. I really do. But I sure love the passage that we heard this morning. Isn't it powerful? I just love this passage. I see a God in this passage who loves me more than I could fathom, who loves me so much, a God who would never ever leave me, a God who knows about my inner struggles, knows more about my inner struggles than I do, and who knows more about my fears than I do. He knows what I'm physically going through. He knows what I'm mentally and emotionally going through, and He tells me through this passage that He will not leave me there. He will never leave me there, but that He is on the journey with me. He is in the struggle with me. He is by my side. Amen? I'll never forget one of the books that I read in seminary. I've forgotten most of the other ones. But one of them is called Why God, and it was written by a guy by the last name of Burton, and he wrote this book in response to having lost two children within a year from two different, totally unrelated things. And he wrote this book, and the premise of the book was, God, where were you? Right? I mean, he was asking God, why did this happen? But more importantly, where were you? And what he found in his study and his research and his prayer was that God was there, right? He was right there in the midst of his grief, right? He was never alone in that grief, even when he felt like he was, because He's too good to leave us there, right? And that's what the scripture says to me, is that my God is too good to leave me alone and to leave me lonely. God spoke these things to His people through the prophet Isaiah when they were exiled in Babylon. Have you ever studied the Babylonian exile? It was bad, right? It was bad. These words from God were spoken to his people when they were in a really bad, a really lonely place. Some of them were separated from their loved ones. All of them had been taken from their homes, right? These words came at a time when God's people were most definitely feeling maybe as alone as they had ever felt in their whole life. And there in the midst of their loneliness was God, right? Was God speaking these words to them, these comforting words, peaceful words to them. He said, imagine them in their grief and in their fear in Babylon, away from home, away from loved ones. He says, listen, my children, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. I love this part. You are mine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You are mine. That's our God. Amen? Amen. That's our God. And he loves you. He created you. He redeemed you through Christ, and he will not leave you alone. Even when you feel most alone, God is there, I promise you. Even when you feel most alone, he's there. Even when you're walking through the fire and you think you're alone, you're not alone, because God is always with you. You are his. Amen? He's always with you, even when your struggles seem so big, so impossible to see the other side of. He is there, and he's there with this promise to be with you, to walk with you, to never leave you alone. So what does the storm look like for you today? What's the storm look like for you in your life right now, today? What is the fire that you're walking through today? Is it a lonely place to be, this storm that you're walking through? Do you feel like you're shouldering the burden of it by yourself sometimes? Are you dealing with it alone? Or does it feel like you're dealing with it alone? That really is a scary place to be, isn't it? In the storm, alone, walking through the fire, alone, battling depression, alone, grieving, alone. Being by yourself in addiction, feeling alone as you think about the end of your life or the end of a loved one's life. It's a lonely place to be, isn't it? I could keep going. I could keep going, and eventually I am positive every one of us could find ourselves in a place that is lonely in our lives right now, right? A situation we are personally dealing with that feels just super lonely. For us, there's just something about us that makes us think we need to deal with certain things alone, right? Nobody else needs to be bothered by this, so we just deal with it alone, that we need to travel certain roads by ourselves, that some storms have to be traveled solo. And that's when autophobia can set in, I think. That's when we realize lonely is a scary feeling, right? Alone is a scary place to hang out. But I think it can also be when we feel God's presence with us the most, right? When we are as deep in our fear and deep in our loneliness as we can be, that's when we can feel God's presence with us most. He promises us through this passage that when it gets tough, he's there. When it gets tough, he's there. When the storms come, he's there. When we have to walk through the fires of this life, he is there with us. He's there with you. He says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Isn't that a feeling that you just want to hold on to? God says to you, you are mine. It doesn't matter what you're going through, what people outside of you are saying about you, what storms you're in the midst of. He says, you are mine. What if you believed these words when your autophobia acts up, right? What if you truly believed these words by faith, that you are his and you are never alone? What if you had faith that you really are his, and so you are really never alone? I don't think it's realistic to think or for me to say that even if we believed and embraced these words of God, we would never feel lonely again, right? I'd be lying to you if I told you that. Just embrace God's words and you'll never feel lonely. It's not true, is it? It's ideal, but it's not true. But I do believe we would be better equipped to face this fear, right? To face all fears, but especially this fear of being alone, if we realize that these words are true, that God spoke, that He will never leave us. And I think that because God promises His people that He will not leave them, right? God promises us that. He promises you that even when you feel alone, He will never allow you to actually be alone. He's always with you. This world can be so lonely sometimes, can't it? We make it that way. It's sad, but we do it. And it can be so lonely. This life can be lonely. Well, my hope and my prayer this morning is that when it gets that way for you, when you feel alone, when you feel lonely, that you will invite God into that place with you. And watch out, because He might invite others to come along, right? But invite God to be in that place with you. I suspect the fear will still be real, right? I know it will still be real, even then. But God is good. Amen? Yeah. God is good, and He loves you so much, and he promises to be with you through the fires, through the storms. I hope that you'll believe that. I hope that you'll believe Him and let Him be with you in the lonely places. Let Him walk beside you and comfort you and lead you through all of them. Amen? Let's pray together.